Good afternoon, Cell Group, and you're welcome back to this consideration of last Sunday's Gospel for the first Sunday of Lent, which is Luke's account of the temptation of Christ. And Luke, of course, has his own style. All three synoptics have some sort of account. Mark's version is very brief. Matthew and Luke share the longer account, such as we have here. But Matthew's second and third temptations are inverted in Luke. Matthew has bread, temple, kingdoms. Luke has bread, kingdoms, temple. But when you look at that, it shows you a bit of sense of direction. You come from the desert right up to the temple. Temple's the last one. And it kind of heights in it as well. The desert on the ground, next one from a height. And then the top of the temple. Small wee things, but that just shows you his literary flair and his love of editing and putting an ordered account together. Example, he also does a thing where he refers to Jesus as the Son of God. Son of God. If you were the Son of God, tell the stone to turn into a loaf. So, that Son of God is repeated in Luke. We also have it in the Annunciation. The child that you will bear will be known as the Son of God. And also you hear it at the end of Jesus' life, when before Pilate, "Are you the Son of God?" He says, "It is you who say it." So this phrase, the Son of God, then is very important for Luke. The identity of Jesus is shown in this temptation. So we'll look closely at the text now, filled with the Holy Spirit. So right away, Luke is the evangelist who is the evangelist of the Holy Spirit. Everything happens because of the Spirit. He's the one that writes the Acts of the Apostles, which some scholars say should be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus left the Jordan, where he was baptized, and was led by the Spirit through the wilderness. There's the Spirit again. So this is chapter 4. We're still at the introductory phase in Luke's Gospel, first four chapters. The birth of Jesus, the infancy narratives, then his baptism in the Jordan by John, and then he goes into the desert. So being tempted there by the devil for 40 days. During that time, he said nothing. Oh, before I go on, 40 days, the word 40, in Middle Eastern writings at the time, 40 is kind of eternity or a lot. You know, it's just, it doesn't actually mean the number that comes after 39. So it's not literally 40. Moses was up the mountain for 40 days and the flood lasted for 40 days. So you have this recurring theme, 40 days. But during that time, he ate nothing. At the end, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you're the Son of God," again, that challenge to his identity, "if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to turn into a loaf." But Jesus replied, "Scripture says, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." So there he's giving a citation from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 3. So that's his first temptation. And then leading him to a height, so there's a gradual step up here. The devil showed him in a moment of time all the kingdoms of the world. So in this temptation, the devil really shows himself to be the father of lies. "I will give you all this power and the glory of these kingdoms, for it has been committed to me, and I give it to anyone I choose." He's a liar. And we have to deal with liars. So Jesus, of course, then comes back, quoting scripture back to him, saying Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him alone. And then he gets to Jerusalem, made him stand on the parapet of the temple. And that identity thing again, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. So that's like the crucifixion. One of the criminals who were crucified with Jesus kept deriding him and saying, are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. That's in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. So that call to be authentic to your nature, to your name. And the devil quotes Psalm 91, on their hands they will bear you, that you will not dash your foot against the stone. But Jesus answered him with another piece of scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. But in all of this, you see the devil knows scripture and can quote scripture, but it's all to his own ends, to dissuade Jesus from doing the Father's will, to tempt him, to give him another way to get through his mission. And sometimes the temptations are attractive, you know. It'd all be so easy just to be demonstrate the power of God. Everybody would believe, and it would all be over. So Jesus is ready for him and contradicts him all the time. You must not put the Lord your God to the test. That's Deuteronomy 6:16. So having exhausted all these ways of tempting him, the devil left him to return at the appointed time, which would be at the start of the Passion narrative in the Garden of Eden. So there we have it, the temptations of Christ. It's said that this is kind of the writing of the hero has been tempted, has tests to go through, and he succeeds in getting through these tests. He confronts the enemy, and that's a big thing in Jesus' mission, to beat the devil, to confront the devil, to confront evil, and to confront the effects of evil. So he gets through these tests and he's successful. The whole section is almost like a symbolic of tests that Christ himself will face later on, some of which I've referred to. So some questions then for sharing on and thinking about. Jesus was led by the Spirit into what proved to be a wilderness experience. When you look back on times when you hit a low point, can you see the presence of the Spirit of God in some of them, even though they were low? The second one, Jesus is on the verge of starting his public ministry. In the temptations, we can see his struggle to say yes to the mission given to him by God. Perhaps some of your important decisions have been preceded by a time of anxiety and worry. What helped you to say yes to risky but hope-filled invitations in your life? So, finally, one can enter into the temptations singly and ask, how have I been tempted to give priority to bodily needs and satisfactions? Secondly, how have I been tempted to a selfish use of power? Thirdly, how have I been tempted to seek to be the center of attention? So So God bless you as you gather together, and I'll pray this prayer with you and for you. Lord our God, you alone do we worship, and only your word gives life. Sustain your church on this Lenten journey. When we walk through the desert of temptation, strengthen us to renounce the power of evil. When our faith is tested by doubt, illumine our hearts with Easter's bright promise. We ask this through Christ, our deliverance and our hope, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, holy and mighty God, forever and ever. Amen. So God bless your work and your time together.